On this day, we're continuing with our topic, which we began long time ago, the work of the Holy Spirit. The first part was the convicting work of the Holy Spirit from John 16, when he will come, will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we see that's the work the Holy Spirit does, and we went through that. It's a footnote that when I was preparing my message today, I was thinking that imagine that is the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, or the Holy Spirit in the world. But we look around, we see churches who say we don't talk about sin, we only talk about love, we only talk about this, they don't want to talk about judgment. And at the same time, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. And the church is out there, a place where God's word can be preached and heard. But there are many who choose not to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about righteousness of God. They only want to talk about love. They don't want to talk about judgment. And that makes me think that you can see in a wrong foundation the church is built. They've diverted from the work of the Holy Spirit. They've gone on other things which are not biblical. That was just a footnote. And the second time we read, we went through the sealing of the Holy Spirit, which we saw from Ephesians 1, which is the sealing, which is the mark that we belong to God, mark of ownership. When the Spirit of God convicts us of sin, those who believe, they are sealed with a seal, with a mark, which shows that we belong to God. And last time we went through indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of believers. He comes at moment of our conversion. When we believe in God, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, He comes and dwells in us. From 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, we went through that. And today, we are on the fourth part, which is the Holy Spirit. What does He do in our lives? He comes and dwells in us. Is He just there to sleep? Is He just there to enjoy? Is He just there to do nothing? But the Bible tells us the first thing He does, He is another helper. He is here to help. He is here to comfort. He is here to advocate. So the message today is another helper, another comforter, another advocate. That's the message of today. We can turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John 14, 16 to 18. I'm going to read. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. We can also turn in the same chapter, John 14, verse 26. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to you to your remembrance all things that I said to you." John 15, let us read again. John 15, verse 26. 15, 26. He says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me." We see the Bible is giving a specific work the Holy Spirit will do in lives of believers. We know believers or disciples spent 3 years with Jesus Christ, apostles, and even the 70s. They spent 3 years with Jesus Christ physically. Day and night, they were totally dependent on him. He called the fishermen. He called the tax collectors. He called men of different skills to be his disciples. And they became totally dependent on him. Day and night for 3 years, they were totally dependent on him. They were with him. And they were dependent on him. He defended them. He helped them. He comforted them. He prayed for them. He did many things for them. So they didn't have anything to do on their own. He was there with them all the time. And on that same person to whom they had given all their lives, he turns around. He starts talking to them that he was going to die. He had to be crucified. He had to die for his people. He had to go to be with the Father. These people who trusted in him, who were totally dependent on him, they became sorrowful. They started wondering. They started worrying, what are we going to do? We have associated ourselves with this man. We don't have any reputation outside there. Our lives has been put in the hands of this man, and now he's talking about him leaving us. You can feel the sorrow the disciples had. In the upper room, the Bible tells us how Jesus Christ is talking, telling them that he is going to the Father. And he said he's not leaving them alone. The same way you and I are believers, we belong to a master, we belong to a savior, whom we can't see, whom we can't be dependent on a physical level, that he's not there, we don't see him, we don't touch him all the time. He is gone. He's our master. He is gone. We belong to somebody who is not present. He is an absentee. We feel intimidated. We feel lonely. We feel powerless. We feel helpless sometimes. Same as disciples felt when Jesus Christ was going. But Jesus Christ is turning to them, is telling them that he is going to do something. He will never take his presence away from them without replacing. He is going to send another who is going to come and do the duties. When we get saved, God gives us two gifts. Greatest gifts is the gift of salvation, and the second one is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Anyone who is saved, anyone who has tested salvation, has been given the gift of Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. As we saw last time, he dwells in us. We are a shrine, we are a temple of God, we are a place where God meets with us. And the Holy Spirit is a gift from God, as we see from verse 16 of John 14. He is a gift from God. The Bible says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another. He will give you. We receive the Holy Spirit. It's not somebody we command. It's not something we have to do ourselves to call him down to come. He is a gift from the Father. Father gives the Holy Spirit at the moment of our salvation. And why he gives us the Holy Spirit? Because Christ came, God gave him the gift, was the church. God gave him the gift, and Christ came to redeem his people. And when he had done the work done on the cross, when he finished the work, when he has paid for the sins of all his people, when he has set all his people free, he went back to the Father. And he knew that he, when he was in this world, he went through temptations, he went through suffering, he went through the mockery, he went through the iniquities, he went through the pains, he went through many difficulties. That's why when he went, he knew that we on our own, we couldn't succeed, we couldn't live our own lives, our Christian lives to the fullness. Without an helper, he sent the help, the gift from God. He received the Holy Spirit as a gift, as a reward from God for what he had done to protect his people. We will go through, firstly, the word helper. The word helper. It means the one called alongside to help or to head. The one called alongside to add. And it comes from a Greek word, parakletos. We know there's many words beginning with para, parallel. We have paraplu, we have paramedics, we have paramilitary, para. We know all these words. It means alongside. Para means alongside. And then we have the second part, which is kletos, which means one called. So if we put the word two words together, parakletos means one called alongside. An helper, the Holy Spirit is an helper. There is no word in the English dictionary which can give you the right meaning of the word helper or parakletos. That's why you find in different translation of the Bible, there's different words. Some places it says helper, like in my Bible. Some will say comforter. Some will say advocate. Some will even go to say that a friend, because it is a big word. And Jesus Christ has sent another helper, an advocate, a comforter, an intercessor, a counselor, a paraclete. The Spirit of God in our lives, in lives of all believers, advocates for us. He advocates for us before men, and he advocates for us before God. He is an advocate. An advocate is like a lawyer. You know, when you are taken to court, somebody who is there to defend you, somebody who is there to tell you even what to say, somebody who is there to stand on your cause, that is the word advocate. He does that in life of every believer. He is a comforter. He comforts us in times of troubles and sadness. We know that when we are Christians, the devil is not happy with us. The world is not going to be happy with us. Life is not going to be easy, as the charismatic tell us. It was never easy for Jesus Christ. It was never easy for disciples and apostles. It won't be easy for us. We are in another camp. The devil will throw all he can to be able to catch us. Iniquities. We will go through some persecutions. Diseases, sicknesses will come on us. And we have the one who comforts us. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He intercedes for us. That means he prays, he pleads for us. When we don't have words to say, when we have sorrows in our hearts, he intercedes for us. He begs for, he prays for us. And he counsels us. when we don't see any light, when we don't have any wisdom, the Spirit of God counsels us. He gives us good counsel. He advises us. He is the one who is called alongside. He is called alongside. Not to sit, not to give us money, not to fill our pockets, not to make us God like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Little gods. And he is there to advocate, to comfort, to counsel, to do the work he has been sent to do. And he does all these things by encouraging us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. He empowers us. He counsels us. He convicts us. He intercedes. He reproves us. He guides us. And he exhorts us. So, anyone who is a believer has to know that we have it better, much better than even the disciples before the Pentecost. We have it much better than them because we have the Spirit of God in us. Well, the Bible tells us that we have to wash one another's feet. We have to serve one another. Believers have to care for one another, which is good, which is a command. But at the same time, there are believers who are outside there. There are those who are isolated, those who are in war zones, those who are in hospitals, sick, those who have lost spouses or children, the loved ones, those who are sorrowful, who are alone. There are believers in Finland, true believers, who don't have a local church to fellowship. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. He undertakes for those people. He helps them. He gives them strength. He comforts them. He counsels them. He guides them. He advocates for them. He cares for them. Because that's why we have Him in our hearts. There is much to be grateful for. There is much to be joyful as Christians. We are not on our own. We are not alone. We are not orphans. We are not abandoned. We have the third person of the Trinity in us. And He's not sleeping. He's not there just idle. He's there doing the work. He's there at our service. You being alone, you being through tough times, you not having any physical help or physical comfort, that doesn't have to stop your hope. That doesn't have to say that you are abandoned, you are on your own. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is right there where you are. At the same time, He's there with you. That is a comfort. And the Holy Spirit gives you all the help to live your Christian life. He gives you all the help you need to live your Christian life. All. Mention and mark that word, all. He is sufficient. So, never think that there is something extra you need if you are a born again. It amazes me when we see people who call themselves Christians. They go all over the place to look for things. They don't seem to be satisfied. Colossians 3 tells where Jesus Christ is. Verse 1. It tells us that Jesus Christ is in heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. But we see, we hear day after day, today, people saying that they saw Jesus Christ. He appeared to them. Jesus told them. Jesus told them. Jesus did this. Jesus did this. Some say that they went even to heaven to meet Jesus. This kind of teaching we see today should make you think, are they saved? Do they know who they are in Christ? Do they know that they have the third person of Jesus, of the Trinity in them? Do they know that the Holy Spirit, who is in them, if they have any, gives them all the help to live the Christian life? There is nothing missing. We have him as disciples had them, as apostles had him on the day of Pentecost. When he came, there was a transformation. Sorrow went away. They were different people. They were empowered. Philippians 4:13. We can turn there and read it, just one verse. Book of Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the focus should be on the second part of that verse. Through Christ who strengthens me. We find our strength, we find our abilities and our hope in Christ. He strengthens us through the Holy Spirit, who is our strengthener, who is our comforter, who is our guider, who is our defender, who is everything we need to live our Christian life. We have it all, we believers. We don't have to sit in front of TV to listen to Josh Meyer or Paul, what was this? Joel Osteen, all these people who are twisting the promises of God, who are telling things which are not true. But the Bible gives us promises. They are promises which are biblical. They are there in it, their context, that we have an helper, another helper, another comforter, another advocate, a defender, an intercessor in us. He's not there just to sit. He's not there just to have good time. He's there. He's at work. He's there working in our sanctification. Is working in molding us into an image of the one who sent him, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you leave this place today, know that you are not alone if you are a believer. Know that you have all that you need to succeed, to live your Christian life. And the standard of success, the standard of your Christian life is not based on you, based on what people say. It's based on what God sees as success. So we believers have the Spirit of God. We have an helper. And that word, the word which comes from before the word helper in Jack's verse 16 of John 14, it says, he will give you another helper. We know Jesus Christ went to be with the Father. He was going to be crucified. He was going to send another. This word another comes also from Greek, meaning allos. Allos from Greek. It means another of the same kind, of similar type. The another of same kind, another of similar type. He is not the same, but he is of same kind. We know when Jesus Christ was being baptized, when he was in the River Jordan, he was standing there, that the Son was standing in the water. John the Baptist was going to baptize him, and the skies or heavens opened. The voice came, the Father saying, "This is my Son, in him I am well pleased." That we see already two people, two persons of Trinity. And then at the same time we see a dove coming, the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of dove on Christ. We see three persons of Trinity being present at the same time. And when the Bible says that he is the Holy Spirit, he is another, which means he is not Christ, but he is of same kind as Christ. That means he is equal to Christ. He is equal to Christ. He is fully kind. He is holy. He is truthful. He is powerful. He is loving. He is graceful, compassionate, and he is faithful. Jesus Christ was all those things when he was on earth. All the truth about Jesus Christ, they are also relating to the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in us. So, he is equal to Christ, the Spirit who dwells in us, the third person of Trinity who lives in us. And all that Christ is, the Holy Spirit is. There is no difference. We don't have to go and look for extra to see that we are super Christians because we have met Christ, because he comes and talks to us, because we went to heaven, because we do this. That does make us special people. It makes us liars. It makes us just that we don't know what you're talking about. Because if we know that we have the Holy Spirit, excuse me. So, we have the one who is everything Jesus Christ was. There is no difference. There are two different people, persons in Trinity, but they are of same kind. They are equal. They are the same. And the other thing I want to mention here, the Holy Spirit is not it. Or is not a force, as Jehovah's Witnesses say. They say that he is a force. When we read the Bible, everywhere we read about the Holy Spirit, it talks about he. That is a person, isn't it? It's only a person. If you know the English language, he is used to a person, a male, a person, he will. Another helper, he may abide with you forever. He is a person, not a force, not a thing. He is the third person of Trinity. And we do all these things so that believers have to know, have to have assurance, which is based on biblical truths. You can't, if you know who you are, if you know your identity, you can't be tossed and turned around by any people who come want to make you as merchandise, want to make you as they shop or stuff. You will be independent. You know that you are not dependent of people. Of course, you are dependent of other believers, but that is not the end of the world. By the way, if you are a Christian, you want to meet with other believers. You want to be alone. You don't want to be alone. You don't want to be isolated. You will have desire to meet other believers. We have it better, as I said earlier, than disciples. We have the Holy Spirit of God. He's with us wherever and whenever we may find us. He's here in this place. He is with us when we go out. He is with us when we're sleeping. He is with us when we are working. Even when we are going through tough times, He is there. The Bible says He will not abandon us or forsake us. He is with us. That is the comfort. If you are a believer, what else do you need? What else do you need? You have Him with you. He is there at your help. He is there as another helper. The one who is called along. The one of the same kind. If we have Him, why do we wander around? Why do you look for experiences? Why do you look for excitement outside there, which are made by liars who are making things up? How they went to heaven, how they saw Jesus, or how Jesus appeared to them when they were shaving. How this happened. We have the Holy Spirit of God as an helper. And we have Him as a gift. We have Him at the moment of our conversion. If you are converted, you have the Holy Spirit of God, and He dwells in you, and He is at your service. He is, as I said, an helper. He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's a counselor living in you. Living in you. You have a person in you. In way of application, to believers first, I want to do it that way so that there's no confusion. To believers, you have to know that you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not saved and abandoned. Because you didn't save yourself, and we have a God who is faithful, we have a God who is responsible. He saves us. He sent His Son, or He sent His Son to die for us. And that Son, He is faithful, He is loving, He is full of mercy. He sent His Spirit to be with us as another helper, as another comforter. So don't think you are alone. And the Holy Spirit will take you through all things. Underline again the word all things. All things. Let us go through some stories, some things in scriptures. We know Apostle Peter. We know him before Pentecost. The Bible tells us about the story when Christ was supposed to be taken to be crucified. When Peter was sitting in this garden, in the court, in a place where the servant girl, young servant girl, came and saw that he was one of those. He was the one who was with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of, Matthew 27, 16 to 79, how Peter denied Jesus Christ. We know him. We know that he trembled. This big fisherman trembled before a young servant, a young girl servant. In Acts 1, 6 to 8, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has given us a promise, the power. When the power of God will come, when the Holy Spirit will come, change will happen. And if we see book of Jeremiah 31 to 34, we see the new covenant. It is a promise God has made to the people of Israel. Let us read that covenant. By the way, it would be good to read it. Jeremiah 31. 31. To 34. You can read it. A new covenant. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke. Though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive the iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. And Acts 1, Acts 1, 6-8. From 6-8, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked them, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. We see Peter standing there in that courtyard, being weak and fragile, being scared. And when day of Pentecost, we all know these stories in Acts 2, in Pentecost, we see this same Peter being empowered by the Holy Spirit, being given boldness. This same Peter who was full of mistakes in Acts 2:14-38, he gives the most important speech ever given. He stands up after the Holy Spirit had fallen. The Holy Spirit empowers him, gives him power to stand and preach the gospel. And that same preaching he gave brought fruit at the same time. Men of Judea, men of Israel cried, what shall we do? We see the contrast. The same person who was weak, who trembled before a young girl. Days later, he is standing, giving a speech, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, being given because he has the promise of God. The same with you and I. We have the Holy Spirit of God. He gives us boldness. He takes us through. He gives us speech when we don't have words. He guides us. He gives us wisdom. He leads us. In time and no time. We lack power, we have the promise. We lack knowledge, we have the promise. That promise is given to us that we will have power. We have the helper when he comes. So, you have to know that no matter what the outcome of your situation, there is no even a second that you can say that the Spirit of God left you or abandoned you. You can say that you are on your own. If you are a believer, he is there with you. He is there with you. I can't say it enough to us to understand. I'm talking even to myself at the same time. We have another helper. We have another helper. We have another comforter. We have another advocate. We have a defender. We have a guider. We have the third person of Trinity in us. And to unbelievers, in way of application, I've spent time talking about how believers have. Believers have the Spirit of God in them. But let me tell you the truth. The truth is that you are on your own. Every unbeliever out there is on his own, or she is on her own. She doesn't have an helper, or he doesn't have an helper. They are on their own. That's the biblical truth. They are on their own. Any unbeliever is on their own. They might be praying, they might be doing religious things, but they are on their own. They don't have an helper. They don't have a comforter. They don't have a counselor. They don't have an advocate. And that is something which can make you think. You can't fake it. You can't have an helper just as a fake. It's not there. Because he is a gift to the believers. And he has a mission to strengthen, to comfort, to console believers. He contributes into sanctification of believers. He contributes to make us through this world. He equips us with all things we need to succeed as believers. All things. Unbelievers are on their own. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you hear this, his voice, do not harden your heart. The truth is this. Do you want to be on your own? Do you want to be without a counselor? Do you want to be without a strengthener or defender? Or do you want to be with an helper, knowing, having this assurance that you have somebody by your side in you time after time, day after day? You are not on your own. That is an assurance for believers. Baptism won't give you another helper. Culture won't give you another helper. Tradition or religion or promises people will give you, prophecies won't give you another helper. Hebrews 4 again. Let us read that apart, which I think is really good. Hebrews Hebrews 4:15-16. This is what it says. This is the writer telling believers, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Christ is a high priest for believers, and is not a believer, a high priest who doesn't know what we're going through. He lived on this earth. He knows what we're going through. He knows everything. He sympathizes with us. There's much to gain being in Christ. There is all to lose being outside of Christ. There is all to lose being outside of Christ. You will be on your own. On this earth, in day after day, you might get comfort from believers, from church members, from neighbors, but there are times where we are alone. There are times where we have things burning in our hearts. There are times where we are isolated from other people. That's the time the Holy Spirit plays a big part in the lives of believers. We find joy, we find wisdom, we find comfort. We know that we have somebody who's interceding for us. Think of it. Come to Christ, you have another helper. And that helper is not for a short time. He is until the day of redemption. It is until the day he will present us to our bride. To our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Think of it. There is nothing you can do to get that. There's nothing you can do in your power to receive that. But in Acts 2, when Peter gave this big speech, when people of Judea and Galilee asked him, people of Israel asked him, "Brother, what can we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent. See that you are a sinner. See that you're running short. You are on your own. Surrender to Christ. Say, 'Have mercy. I am weak. I am alone. I am worthless. Everything I do is a failure. Come and rescue me. Come and rescue me.' And he will come and rescue you. And when he comes to rescue you, you won't be the same. You will get a new nature. You will be a new person from inside. And that inside will be shown to the outside as well. You will have a spirit of God dwelling in you to help you to overcome, to help you with all that you need to live your Christian life. On your own, you're fooling yourself. You will fail. On your own, you will give up. On your own, it's impossible. But with Christ, all things are possible. Because we have his Spirit. Think of it. If you are a believer, find confidence in it. Find confidence in it for the rest of your life. Know that He is with you. He is dwelling in you. He is in you, every person in you. And if you are an unbeliever, you are on your own. You are on your own. And that is a dangerous and bad position to find yourself. This world is not easy. And everything is not shiny as it is all the time. But there are times when we are all down. There are times where we need help from somewhere else. We need a solution from somewhere else. Which psychiatrists, or which counselors, which all mom and dad can't give us. Only the Spirit of God can give us. As I said, there is all to gain if you are in Christ. There is all to lose if you are on your own. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this biblical truth from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he was sharing with his inner circle, with his people, his disciples, his apostles. Father, we have the privilege to read the same, to see that we have the same privilege. We who are saved, we who are born again, we who are children of God, we have the Spirit of God in us. He undertakes for us. He helps us. He guides us. He defends us. He advocates, intercedes. Father, he consoles us. He reproves us. Father, he is there at work, time after time, day after day, each day in every time of our lives. Father, what a joy. What a privilege. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we are not on our own. We have an helper, another helper, the one of same kind, who is called alongside to help us. Father, at the same time we see there are those who don't have, those who are on their own, those who don't have the Spirit of God, those who don't have another helper, those who stand alone with their own righteousness, with their own religion, with their own, Lord God, goodness, which is just garbage. Father, we pray that you will humble them. You will humble them, Father. You will bring fear in their lives that they are on their own. Father, they will look for help. Father, they will turn to you. They will notice that there is all to gain in Christ. There is all to lose in when they are alone. Father, have mercy on your people. Father, bring salvation to your people. Those who are out there, Father, being alone. Those who have not come to faith yet, bring them to faith. Or those who are deceived thinking that they are in faith. Those who are deceived thinking that they are serving you. Father, in last day, they'll be told that they are on their own. Father, bring fear in their lives. Open their eyes to see that salvation is in Christ. Salvation is in the one you sent. The one who died, who redeemed these people. The one who sent the Holy Spirit, who dwells in believers. Who is a gift, who is a reward. Father, we pray that you help. For believers, encourage us. Father, remind us time after time that we have you in us. We have your Holy Spirit in us.
We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.